Sinful choices cause irreparable harm. So here's the question. Why do we develop and even cultivate sinful patterns? Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll invites us to examine a comforting statement from the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 6, we're told that God's grace has set us free from the bondage of sin. Jesus paid the ultimate price on our behalf, and because he did, we're no longer enslaved to our poor choices. Instead, God's grace has granted us freedom and joy. Chuck titled today's message with a pertinent question: Whose slave are you?
If you look at your hand, you will have a wonderful illustration of how we are able to absorb, take in the Word of God. A little finger, we can hear His Word, which you are doing in a morning like this. We can hear it, very simple. Just sit and listen and take it in. And the next finger illustrates we can read. We can read His Word. The next step beyond hearing is you take the time to read the Scriptures on your own. I hope you are making that a habit, regularly reading the Scriptures. When you get to the middle finger, it's study. The difference between hearing and reading and studying is a pen and paper, or if you prefer, your computer. You are writing down thoughts that have come to you as a result of hearing and reading when you begin to study. You really are not a serious student of the Scriptures until you begin to study the Scriptures with thoughts in mind that you're putting down in your own words. And then fourth, we can memorize the Word of God. As we repeat it over and over in our minds, we can use it when we need it. Having heard it and read it and studied it, we began to commit verses and even chapters and perhaps books of the Bible to memory. I often challenge people with the thought that we may not always be free as a people. And one thing that will be taken from us if we are ever put under arrest and taken to a place where we are incarcerated, quite likely our Bibles will be taken from us. Only what you have memorized will stay with you and will go with you, which you can repeat and use for personal strength and the strengthening of others. The fifth is meditation. Hearing it, reading it, studying it, memorizing, meditating. When you think on it and you turn it over in your minds, what you have memorized, one of the benefits of memory is you rehearse in your minds the same phrases, the same words over and over and over again until you become so familiar that it is like the digestion of a meal, that you get energy from it and strength to go on. We're looking at Romans chapter 6, 15 through 23. It's a grand chapter, all of chapter 6. The first part of the chapter deals with those who have nullified grace, thinking they must live under the shackles of the law or the demands of people. And grace, therefore, plays no part in that life. You're living under the demands of what is written or what is said from others. The last part of the chapter addresses those who abuse grace. They don't nullify it, but they take advantage of it. They use their liberty and they go too far with it so that they live a life of license. That's what is meant by the question asked in verse 15 of chapter 6. I'll be reading for you the last part of the chapter. We're doing two of those things I mentioned earlier. We're hearing it, and I'm reading it. You're reading it with me. Follow along. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go right on sinning? May it never be. Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads you to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads you to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, meaning before you were converted, previously you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living so that you will become holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You're now ashamed of the things you used to do that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves to God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Interesting, we often use that last verse when we witness to others who are lost, limiting it to a message for evangelism. But it's in a context written to those who are believers. So you see, when you choose to sin, you enter into a death-like existence. But when you choose the grace of God and you choose to obey, you enter into a life filled with Christ as Lord and a righteous style of life.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the book of Romans with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insight.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck titled, Whose Slave Are You?
It may sound strange, but it's true. Those who are free can still live like they're enslaved. Now, you can't tell by looking. I didn't say they look like they're slaves. I said they're living like they're slaves. And there's a major difference. In fact, it can go on when even other people do not know what's going on in your life. During my training years for ministry, it was my privilege to serve as a pastoral intern alongside a man I greatly admired who's gone from us now. His name is Ray Steadman, who had pastored Peninsula Bible Church down below San Francisco for about 40 years in the city of Palo Alto. Peninsula Bible Church was known for its training of young men and women going into ministry. And knowing Ray was a choice privilege. Not only did he help me with certain techniques about ministry, but coached me a great deal in knowing some of the ropes ahead of time as it relates to pastoring churches and taking time for study and doing the kind of work that should be done in order to become an expositor, which was my great desire as I was beginning to learn the ropes as a minister. Anyway, Ray was a good friend with Dr. J. Vernon McGee, who ministered at Church of the Open Door down in Los Angeles. On one occasion, McGee invited Steadman to come down for a series of meetings, which Ray was happy to do. And this took place before I was ever there as an intern, so Ray told us about it later. He said he brought a series of messages, happened to be on the grace of God, and he decided in the middle of the series he would sort of get some fresh air and take a walk, and he got out on Hope Street where the church is located. He said, I walked along, and what a cast of characters, he said, I ran into. All kinds of people are there in that part of the city. He said, it almost reminded me of my own city of San Francisco when I was there. And he said, I looked ahead and I saw an unusual sight. It was a man coming toward me wearing a big sandwich board that hung from his shoulders. And on the front sign of this board was the handwritten statement, I am a slave of Jesus Christ. Big bold letters. He said it looked like he had painted it himself. His hair was disheveled, a long beard, and the clothes were soiled. He was barefoot. He said he may or may not have been homeless. I don't know. But the closer he got to me, the more he stared at me as I walked by. And those dark eyes just sort of penetrated into mine. And so I walked by looking at him as he walked by, and I decided I would pause and see what the back of the sign said. And it asked the question, whose slave are you? Almost as if a finger is pointing in your direction. Quite honestly, that's an awfully good question. Every once in a while, you might be tempted to ask that of someone else. Whose slave are you? You say, well, I'm not a slave. I'm a free citizen of this country. I don't live like a slave. Wait a minute. Let me probe a little. As I look into your eyes, how about your work? Are you a slave to your work? Many a person works too many hours a week, works right through the weekends, rarely takes a break, sneers at vacation and the thought of taking time off. No time for the family. It's all about work. Whatever it is, work at the shop, work at the office, work in your sales, whatever it may be. You can be enslaved to your, it's called being a workaholic. You're familiar with that. How about to things? It's called materialism. Enslaved to possessions. It's like nothing is ever enough. A lack of contentment. Always need more, buying more, acquiring more. How about other people? You give too much attention and credit to what another person's opinion is. You run a little scared of their criticism. Does it derail you when they say things against you? Interesting words from Paul in Galatians. Says in chapter 1, verse 10, if I were still a slave of people, I would not be a servant of Christ. You can't be enslaved to people at the same time serve Christ. But if you're insecure, everything hangs on what people say or think about you. Are you enslaved to that? How about yourself? We have a word for it in our day, narcissism. I want what I want when I want it. Creature comfort, whatever it may require. Me first. Something is done, I get the credit. It's all about you. Most of us have probably worked for a boss like that in our past, or maybe played on a team that was coached by a coach like that, or a fellow athlete that thought like, it's all about me. Here's another one that goes right to the heart of things. How about some sin? Time doesn't permit me, but I could get into six or eight things that are easy to turn us into addicts. You move into them, you get more involved in them, you know they're wrong. They require of you more and more. You give yourself more and more to it. Before long, you're enslaved to it. You can't stop it. Whose slave are you? Second question, has Christ really set you free? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you know it or not, you have been set free. Christ has come. You once were enslaved to the old lifestyle and all the habits that went with it. When you came to Christ, He broke the bonds of that slavery. You served your master, the devil himself, whether you knew it or not. He dominated your world. That slavery ended when you came to Christ. So you're really free. Do you even know what being free means? Are you afraid of it? When you hear words about being freed from the power of sin, does that give you pause? Maybe you were reared under the thumb of a legalist, and you were under the demands and the constant requirements of, you must do this, you must keep that list, you must fulfill these do's and don'ts that I tell you are required for you to be pleasing to God. You're not set free when you live like that. But does it mean that you're free to do whatever you wish, whenever you wish to do it? You certainly are free to choose, but you're not free to choose the consequences if you choose wrong. Invariably, you do what's wrong, there's a price to pay. Scripture says, don't be deceived, God isn't mocked. Whatever you sow, that you will also reap. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. You maybe have lived long enough and maybe far enough away from God to write your own book about consequences. Now, on the other hand, there are those who live so freely, there are no restraints. If I'm free, nobody's going to tell me what to do or what not to do. I have no concern about what anybody says or anybody thinks, ever. I'm free. When that occurs, you're not observing grace. you're abusing grace. Maybe you've never thought of it that way before. Grace comes to free us, but not to do as we please. We are freed from ourselves so that we can please Christ. And when you follow Christ, it's a narrow way. It's a walk of obedience. Some wag has twisted the words of a great old hymn so that it sounds like this: free from the law, O happy condition, sin all you please, for there is remission. That's the way you live when you live with license, calling it grace. Grace was never meant to free you to sin all you please. That's the whole point of the latter half of Romans chapter 6, where Paul says, since God's grace has set us free, verse 15, does that mean we just go right on sinning as we please? And he answers that with, of course not. That strong emotional answer. That is an amazing grace. That's abusing grace. And with that in mind, he then takes off with some explanation of what this is all about. In fact, before I go further, this is a good time to glance at a verse in Galatians 5. When you turn there, it's a little book just before Ephesians, just after the Corinthian second letter, Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 13. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but here's a command from the scriptures: don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. When you follow Christ, the greatest of the principles is love. And when you love others as Christ would have you love them, you care about how you live. You don't want to lead them astray. You don't want to cause them an offense. You don't want to take advantage of them. And I mean this in the right sense in every way. You don't want to get your way. You want Christ to have his way through you. In that sense, you are using liberty as it was meant to be used. Now, back to Romans 6. Paul immediately begins with another question in verse 16. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? It makes sense, doesn't it? You choose to obey this, you become the slave of this. I choose to obey Christ. And in that sense, I'm like the man with the sandwich board. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. If Jesus says it, I want to do it. If Jesus lived like that, I want to live like that. If Jesus treated people this way, I want to treat people that way. I'm enslaved to Christ. I choose to be. Now, let me add this. I don't have to choose that. In fact, I'm free to make another choice. As I said earlier, I can choose to please myself. I can choose to go my own way. That's what he means. He said, don't you realize you become a slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to a sinful lifestyle, which leads to a death-like existence. There's no satisfaction in it. It's like living death. It's a horrible way to live. Or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living.
There's much more in this passage that Chuck Swindoll wants to show us, so please stay with us for the entire study. He titled his message with a question that originates from Paul's letter to the Romans, "Whose slave are you?" It's just one of seven messages in a brand new series from Chuck, never shared on Insight for Living until now. It's called Living by Grace. And to go deeper in your studies on this engaging series, or to learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Well, this passage in Romans chapter 6 reminds us that sin is no longer our master. Paul teaches us that sin has lost its power over those who trust in Christ. But if you've ever struggled to believe this truth, or if you've been around legalistic people who impose their expectations on you, you know what it's like to feel guilt and shame. In his classic book called The Grace Awakening, Chuck Swindoll guides his readers on a journey to freedom. He teaches us how to embrace God's grace and how to give it away as well. This book, The Grace Awakening, is a natural complement to our brand new study called Living by Grace. And you can purchase a copy right now by going to insight.org/store. Or call us if you're listening in the United States. Call 800-772-8888. Finally, I want to say thanks to all those who have given generously in recent days. Your contributions are truly making a difference. In fact, we've received hundreds of comments from all around the world. Their gratitude is sent to us, but in many respects, their gratitude belongs to you. We couldn't provide this program without your support. So as God prompts you to join the team and contribute to this nonprofit ministry, we invite you to give online at insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us next time when Chuck Swindoll talks about choosing freedom in Christ over slavery to sin on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Whose Slave Are You?, was copyrighted in 2020 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.